Good morning. This is Pastor Bill bringing you another News in Focus. This one is found on the BBC.co page this morning, 8:23 Eastern. It's entitled, Inside Nigeria's Secret Gay Club. About 50 people, mostly men, crowd around the front porch of a social club in Nigeria's biggest city, Lagos, cheering on a shy-looking young man who proceeds to sing a ballad. Backstage, another man puts on his wig and takes a quick glance at his pocket mirror before adjusting his tight-fitting red dress. Five other men, also dressed in drag outfits, appear, checking on each other's makeup as they wait for their turn to perform for the crowd. A friend invited me here a few months ago, one chatty spectator says excitedly. I love this place because it makes me feel at home. This gathering of members of the gay and lesbian community in Lagos is held regularly, albeit discreetly, but it could soon be illegal. The vast majority of gay Nigerians may not be interested in this kind of event, but they still have to hide their sexuality in this conservative society. The vast majority of gay Nigerians may not be interested in this kind of event, but they still have to hide their sexuality in this conservative society. While already illegal, homosexuality is widely frowned upon across Nigeria and has been subject of several bills in the National Assembly. The same-sex marriage prohibition bill specifically outlaws same-sex unions. It also bans gatherings of homosexuals or any other support for gay clubs, organizations, unions, amorous expression, whether in secret or in public. Repulsive. The bill has been passed by Nigerian Senate, the highest chamber, and is now being reviewed by the lower chamber, the House of Representatives. If approved, it will be sent to the president to sign into law, after which same-sex couples could face up to 14 years in prison. But Nigerian homosexuals complain that the stigma they face is already enough punishment for their way of life. Kunle, not his real name, a gay man living in Lagos, is outraged by the proposed law. You know, of course he is. And he says, how does a government think that sending someone to prison could change his or her sexual orientation? How logical is that? Well, I want to cut in there for just a moment and say, he is saying basically, you can't change who I am through legislation. Now, let's talk about that for a moment. Are we saying that he doesn't feel love or lust for another man? No, we're not saying that. We're not saying he doesn't feel that, nor are we saying that a law can change his heart. We're not saying that at all. Bill Sturm will not ever say that a law will change a man's heart. That was the whole problem with the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and that is the reason that we need a new covenant. I am not saying, and I'm not going to make this recording an issue of sexual orientation. Nope, I'm not doing that. It might be, just for sake of argument, that this man has a special propensity towards lust with men. I am going to say it is a sin nonetheless. You say, well, what if God made me this way? Well, let me argue this and say this. What if I am enraged and I feel in my heart that I have a right to kill somebody? Does that make it correct? Does it make it right? I could even say that I was born with that urge. The truth is, I was born with a sin nature that could... Listen to this now. Some of you are not going to like this, but you should probably rewind it and let's do it again. If it's a temptation common to the sinful humanity, if it's that means any sin is within the grasp of my practice. Any sin. And if you think that that's too hard for you, 1 Corinthians 10:13, then you need to back up one verse and read verse 12 where it says, wherefore the him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Maybe you should back up a few more verses where it says that fornicators in 1 Corinthians 10 were judged in the wilderness. I promise you, there were not 23,000 people in the wilderness in that day that ever thought that they would be having sex with other people than their spouses around a golden calf. I promise you, they never planned on doing that. At the given time, at the right circumstances, or wrong circumstances, their sinful nature produced the fruit that they probably never dreamed that would have produced. And so I am not ever going to say that Bill Sturm could not slip into a sinful state and desire a man. The truth is, by God's grace, I never will. The truth is, by God's grace, I never will cheat on my spouse. I love my wife, and it would be by God's grace and his enablement and my continued surrender that my sinful nature stays exactly where it should, in the coffin. Now, again, let me say this again. Me, I don't know if you want to call it backsliding. How about falling into a lifestyle of anything? Following my heart to murder someone? Following my heart to sleep with a man? Following my heart to cheat on my wife? Following my heart to turn on my country? I might feel that it is the right thing for me to do deep in the recesses of my being, but that doesn't mean that it's not sin. And that is what we've got to understand. Therefore, since it doesn't mean that it's not sin for a man to say that he is sexually oriented towards other men, to not be able to say it is not sin means then that it is as valid to make a law against such a sin as it is to make a law against taking another person's life or taking another person's property. That's theft, right? That's still a sin. Well, I really feel like I have a right to it. I mean, I really feel like it's not fair that he has it and I don't. But wait a minute. That doesn't mean that it is wrong to make a law against it just because in your heart you feel a drawing towards it. Am I susceptible to the spirit of theft? Absolutely. I am susceptible to the spirit of covetousness that desires what another person has. Of course. And I have to be careful that I allow the Lord Jesus Christ to rule in my heart and life. One of the Nigerians, back to the article, few openly gay human rights activists, Rashidi Williams, notes that the bill seeks to ban something which is already illegal, which no one is publicly advocating. All we are asking for is to repeal the repressive laws in this country, he says. And again, I want to draw out the parallel. Is it repressive to say you should not murder? No. Is it, but there's a law against it. Is it repressive to say you should not steal? No. But there's a law against it, right? Is it repressive to say that you should not sleep with another man's wife? Is it repressive to say that? No, it is not repressive to say that. That is just good morals. And yet there are no laws that I can tell in any books against it. No one going to jail today because they cheat on their spouse. As far as I can tell, I've never known of anyone doing it. And so what happens if we all of a sudden became a moral society and said, look, if you cheat on your spouse, you could spend a year in prison. Well, surely there would be people out there, homosexuals and heterosexuals alike, that would cry, oh, you're repressive. But wait a minute. Is it repressive to outlaw something that God says is sin? Now, I'm not trying to target the person out there who says that they hate God, they don't believe in a God or whatever, and they're homosexuals. I want to talk to the people out there that are either sympathetic to homosexuality or homosexuals themselves and simply say this. Listen, if you believe the Bible, why is it that you think the only verses against homosexuality are in Leviticus? Even if they were, that wouldn't mean they weren't active or effective today. But just for argument's sake, why is it that the greatest argument against using the Bible for homosexuality is that, well, then you have to not mingle garments? Wait a minute. Leviticus is not the only argument against homosexuality, friend. So just understand, in this calm sort of discussion I'm having with you, that the fact that it seems like we're making law against something that's a matter of the heart, well, we already do that. We already do that. You might feel in the deepest parts of your recesses that you should turn on your country and be a spy. But that doesn't mean it's not illegal. You see what I'm saying? You might in your heart feel like something is right or something is wrong. Can you imagine the country saying, I don't appreciate you infringing upon my right, my orientation to commit espionage. I just feel like it's a repressive law against it. Well, you know what? I might feel really strongly. I might feel real strongly that I have a right to commit a sin deep in my heart, and I might even find reasons why it's not a sin. I might talk about how the Bible's outdated, or at least the interpretation that is given to that scripture is outdated. I can find a dozen reasons why something is right when really the scripture says it's wrong. I can do that, and that is one way that people deal with it. So I wanted to bring this article to your attention just to let you know there are other countries on the globe who do have a morality and they don't mind legislating it. And by the way, the God that you say you serve didn't mind legislating it either. Read the Old Testament. Well, this is Pastor Bill bringing you another News in Focus. Please post your comments directly to this recording. And I want to just say the sin of homosexuality and the sin of covetousness, Christ died for both of them. And a person can be saved and delivered from the wrath of God and then delivered from such a practice if they will put faith in Jesus for salvation from the wrath of God and then rely on Him daily for salvation from the sins in which they are entangled. I am a living testimony of both of those facts. And I am thankful to God that by His grace and faith in Jesus Christ, what He did for me on Calvary, I am a child of God, born again, struggling against sin, struggling hard against sin, and finding victory day by day, little by little, and God is good. Have a great day.